today on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. It's happening. We're here. We got, it's not a movie, but it's still really freaking exciting. We got Hawkeye episode 5, Ronin, all that and more that we have no control over.
Okay, round 2. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. My name is Matthew Carroll.
And I'm Jeff Randall.
And we have two wonderful guests with us this fine evening. We have Matthew Fox, Superhero Ethics and Star Wars Universe podcast. How you doing, Matthew?
Kingpin's back! I mean, wait, are we, spoilers yet?
Spoiler alert,
God, come on.
And you hurt Melissa's
ears. That's my job.
Let's talk. Melissa.
I said nothing. I'm just glad to be here.
Melissa Khalil is also with us. How are you, Melissa?
I'm good. If you know, all you people out there still have audio after Fox just blew your speakers out.
Eardrums.
Don't worry. I'll do some wonderful post-massaging on that moment, but like, Melissa, your hearing is unfortunately damaged forever.
It's in the theme of the series. I've got my Yelena vest.
Yeah.
I got my Hawkeye ears.
I'm a committed fan.
I'm helping. Method.
A few years when Melissa's hard of hearing, they're going to have that like, why are you hard of hearing? And she's going to have one moment flash into her brain. Just that one moment.
And honestly, Fox, it was worth it. The moment we got, I did not blame you one bit.
Right?
Too many Foxplosions.
Enough silliness. Let's get to it. Yes, spoiler alert. Freaking D'Onofrio is back. The implications of this are huge. We have so much to say. Just about that one moment, I have so much to say.
His name was in the credits. They said his name.
Say
his name was
his
there.
Name. I love it so much.
Did anybody else's arms just like flail wildly when they showed the picture?
Yes.
And it was Vincent D'Onofrio.
Yep.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like I said, the poor people on my apartment floor, it was 3 a.m. here, and I screamed. I'm watching Daredevil right now, which for those of you that haven't watched the Netflix series, it's a must now. I'm very sorry, but they are very good. It took me forever to get into them, but they are very good. You will not regret it. But I screamed. I went, and I'm pretty sure I awoke everybody on my floor.
This is one time that Marvel faked me out, and I love them for it. Because when she looked at the picture and passed the phone to him, and he just said, it's the one we've been looking for, I had a moment where I just knew they were going to cut to the credits then, and we'd have to wait another week to see the picture. Because Marvel's done that to us so many times, and then they showed the picture. And I was like, we'd all started to think it was true, but like, you know, I was always the person who was like, Mephisto, like I've never gotten on board these trains with any of you. I don't think any of these people are going to be in Spider-Man. I think you're all being faked out. I don't know. But I started to get on the D'Onofrio train, and then it was just, I think he's my favorite character that's ever been in the MCU. And so to have him be back in this kind of the official MCU, it's just, so good.
Yeah, it's huge. I've been telling, we've all been telling you, Melissa, that you had to watch those Netflix shows, but I am so jealous of you right now, having the experience of just now making it through Daredevil and having Kingpin, Wilson Fisk be so fresh in your mind and then getting this drop. Like, this, we all waited 4 years for this, and you, like, just, like, I'm mad you're at you a little bit.
it's like when people's kids, like, watch Infinity War and then immediately, like, hit next on Disney Plus to watch Endgame. Like, no. You have to wait a year.
A year. Sit on your ass.
That's called child abuse, I think. Like,
yeah.
I mean,
I was abused for a year by Marvel.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, I'm just paying it forward, man. Like, come on.
Hurt people, you know?
listen. None of y'all went through what I did, which is being 4 years old, hearing Darth Vader say, "I am your father," and then having to wait 2 years to Return of the Jedi came out. So,
wow.
Just going to throw down the OG weight.
That's some OG weight stuff right there. Good call.
But okay, let's talk about what it means. There's so many things it could be connected to now.
Oh, it's so much.
It's so much.
We get Danny Rand back. Like,
Why did you jump there? What is your problem? Why are you trying to make us all less excited, Jeff?
This is a dad joke to the extreme. Like, watching all of you cringe after saying that was my goal.
We're trying to get people to like to watch the Netflix series.
Listen, Jeff.
Okay, sorry. Kristen Ritter, though, Jessica Jones, like,
yeah,
yes,
well, amazing.
And here's the
amazing
thing,
amazing.
We've you know, I don't know how to talk about all this without Fox has completely avoided spoilers for Spider-Man, so I don't want to talk about it too deep. But you know the little bit that there might be multiverse involved. So the question that we got to answer still is: are these the same versions, even though they look like them?
Right. You're caught up on canon Loki. The same universe.
You're caught up on Loki, right, Matthew?
Yeah, I know.
Okay. So you know that there's the idea of variance. One of the questions we still have to answer is, like, is this the kingpin that swung that door on that fine day, or is this a brand new kingpin? You know what I mean?
Well, let's start here.
A fine evening, as I recall.
It's true.
I was trying to remember, how does Daredevil season 3 end? It ends with him going back to prison?
No, Melissa hasn't seen that. No, oh my goodness. You guys.
Give me a thumbs up when you're done.
Okay.
Melissa stepped away. I love it so much. She's like humming in her room. Okay. But yes,
She calls herself a true Daredevil fan. She hasn't even finished it. Come on.
No,
sorry.
She just started it. That's the thing. That's what we were just saying.
I hope she can read my lips, but yeah, go ahead.
I think she's just starting season 3.
Okay, that's fair. Is
arguably, like, that is the best season of the show.
Great. It's really good.
It's probably the best season of television.
Yeah, so to answer your question, I believe he's sent back to jail at the end. Daredevil has the opportunity to kill him, I believe, but he protects him from that other guy.
From Poindexter.
Like Poindexter, yeah. Poindexter's after him, he protects him. I'm giving thumbs up to Melissa to come back in. Come on, Melissa, you can come back in. So funny.
We should probably put a spoiler warning in the podcast for that, just because we just told people to go watch the series.
That's fair.
If we want to edit that, I mean, yeah.
It's okay. I'll put a spoiler. We'll put a spoiler.
Yeah, Matt'll fix it in post. It'll be fine.
Oh man, so freaking excited, guys! Like, and not to mention we got. No Way Home is coming out in just a mere hours at this point. And it's like, that is the possibility of all this multiverse shenanigans and the possibility of all these things happening, that we're also getting these characters returning. It's just such a crazy day to be a Marvel fan. Like, this
Matt,
is insanity.
Matt, you say mere hours. Like, in 36 hours, we will be finishing the opening the pre-movie trailers. We'll be finishing the pre-movie trailers in
36 hours from right now.
Oh my God.
So I'm going to throw out a theory that, again, I have not followed the No Way Home trailers. I don't know many of the rumors, all that stuff, but I at least know enough to know that, like, that there's going to be some kind of, like, legal situation that Peter Parker is in. I don't think I'm spoiling anything just based on, like, all the trailer stuff.
You're definitely not spoiling anything. You're good.
So I think, to me, and you can tell me if this has been spoiled that it can't be true. Like, he's gonna need a lawyer. We have been told you that the timing is so perfect that now that this is going to lead to Charlie Cox as his lawyer, right? Matt Americ as his lawyer.
It is absolutely possible.
We can all hope.
We can all hope. Yeah. I hope so. Matthew Fox, you may want to take your headphones off because I am going to talk about the trailer for a second.
I'm okay at this point. I'm going to be part of the this world.
Well, there's
you're only hours away though.
I'm not going to see it till next week, and probably not till even then because of COVID. COVID's really bad in my state right now. So okay. Go ahead.
Well, there's one big thing in the trailer that this made me think about, and that is they have the big fight that is centered around a statue, which I have been saying through that I think it's a statue of Captain America. I don't know if we've talked about that on the cast. So it looks like they're putting a statue of Captain America up somewhere, and it looks like it's in a bay. In this episode, they say
the new and improved Statue
of Liberty. I bet they're replacing the Statue of Liberty with a statue of Captain America in the MCU, which is funny and weird.
Because,
as they should.
But what excites me about that so much is, do you guys remember the feeling of Winter Soldier when we had a Tuesday release of a Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. episode?
Oh, God.
And then on Thursday we went to see a movie, and then the very next episode was affected by what was on the screen?
Yes.
This feels so much like that. And especially with Spider-Man being this, like, all these possible villains in the Spider-Man movie, and now having Kingpin, who is originally a Spider-Man villain, being shown on screen, that is so much like Ward doing something evil, and then us being like, what's going on?
Hydra.
Like, this is the same thing. This is that same feeling, and I've been saying for months that they needed to recapture that feeling that they got with the first season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and they have the opportunity to do it here. Even if, like, Yelena gets to go see that statue, like, that would be enough for me to be like, they handed the torch off. Okay, handed the shield off, because there's not a torch anymore, right? They handed the shield off.
It took it down.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. They took it down, gave it to Yelena. She's like, this is really heavy.
And, like, this is around the same time as No Way Home. Not a spoiler, but, like, obviously Far From Home picks up, you know, what, a few months after Endgame?
6 months, I believe. Yeah.
I think it's longer than that.
I think it was 8 months, because it was a school year.
Have we seen anything in the No Way Home trailers that indicate what season it is? Like, has there been snow on the ground in any of the scenes? Has there been Christmas stuff in the background?
Man, there's all kinds of crazy. There is snow. There is snow, but it may be mystical snow. We're not sure.
Oh, right.
There's good reason to believe it's mystical
there's
snow.
There's snow on the ground, but it's inside.
Yeah.
So. Okay, yeah, that's not... That can happen in July. That's fine.
Everything's all screwed up now. The multiverse... Yeah. Who knows? The seasons could change.
All right. The real Andy Gomez threw out this in the chat just now. So does this mean Val is working for Kingpin?
You know, honestly, I thought for like a brief second that the phone was going to have a picture of Val, like Contessa, you know, all of the names. Like, I thought that it was going to be her and Eleanor, but then they just blew my mind. And that's why my arms like went, you know, wacky waving inflatable arm flailing tube man, and I like audibly screamed. I was like, that's Vincent. That is Vincent's face on the freaking screen right there.
Well, she said, I found out who hired me. She doesn't say Kingpin. She says Eleanor hired her. So Eleanor is somehow, I guess Val is working for Eleanor if that's the case, or it's just some sort of like conglomeration of like Val is running some assassins for money or something like that.
I felt it was like she was the messenger for Kingpin.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's absolutely possible.
She was the messenger to tell Yelena to go after Clint, but was working for Kingpin, who was working with Eleanor.
Yeah.
I bet that she's really just a liaison for Kingpin into, like, government and other things. Like, Kingpin has so many irons in so many fires all the time, and Val is just one of many.
And here's the thing to me, like, and we talked about this actually on the Superhero Ethics episode I put up a week or two ago. I was actually kind of concerned about where they were going with Val, because to me, one of the great things about the Black Widow movie is that Val gets to stop being a person who follows the orders of other people without really understanding them, you know? And like, she's no longer just going to go kill people because someone else tells
her
to.
You're talking about Yelena?
Yelena, sorry. Yeah, Yelena. That's what I mean. And so in some ways, like, I didn't love that scene of Yelena doing that because I felt like it was taking away a lot of Yelena's agency, especially if she comes back and is like, oh, yep, I'm once again just killing people because someone else told me to. And yet, granted, she's convinced that Ronan, Clint killed her sister, you know, and because who knows what the hell happened on Voromir. But I really love that. She never said it, but in her conversation with Kate Bishop, it seemed very clear that she also knows that Clint was Ronan. She thinks he should die as much for all the things he did as Ronan, as much as like what he did to her sister. And I'm kind of hoping that yes, Val may have made the connection, and Elizabeth, you know, the mother is the one who kind of set it up. But to some extent, like Yelena did her own research, and Yelena decided this is a contract I want to go with. Because like I don't want this to be that Yelena just has once again no agency and is just doing what others are telling her. And so I just really liked that she was so into like the Ronan of it all, the Natasha of it all.
I felt like her relationship with Val was almost like a means to an end.
Mm-hmm.
So. You know, where it's like, okay, I need to find my sister's killer. Now that I found it, this is, you know, my mission. I don't know how involved she is with Val. But I guess in the post-credit scene, she does say, I'm on vacation. So it does seem as though they work together pretty frequently. Right. Never mind.
Well, they also touch on it at the beginning of this episode with Anna telling her how to be a contract killer. She's like, no, this is my house. What, did you think I was just some, you know, slave of some man? And they're like, well, yeah. It's like, no, I'm
that's
the boss
what we
here.
All were for years.
All of us.
All of us. Like, yes, literally exactly that.
I love that scene, especially the fact that they took the bright red, you know, antidote and gave her that line, look what you did to my carpet. That's so
I
funny. Just,
I love that there was... I love that, like, there was at least a little bit of a consequence to using the thing. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, they sprayed her face and, like, she got up and you saw the outline stayed on the carpet. And I was like, oh, that's never going to come out. Yeah, exactly. She immediately was like, look what you did to my rug.
Club soda, man.
Wow.
Club soda.
That sequence, that first 3 minutes in that home is something that I wanted to talk about. Like, I'm super excited about Kingpin, but, like, when Yelena went to the bathroom, turned on the faucet, put her hands under it, and immediately turned to dust, I was blown away that they did that. But then even more so when she reformed and the walls changed color around her.
So well done.
The screen went 2018. I was like, oh, she's about to die. She's about to get snapped. But it was so good. It was so reminiscent of that episode of WandaVision.
Yeah, with Monica.
Like that episode, of episode four.
Four. Oh my god.
Getting to see her snap out and then snap back in because I think it's the first time we really got to see, because from her perspective, that's what it would feel like. It's just like a blink and you're out, blink and you're back.
Mm-hmm. It was almost like the world was snapped away from her instead of her getting snapped away from the world. And it was so cool.
But we saw, like, the way that we saw it from Monica Rambeau's perspective is that she just kind of was asleep, appeared, woke up, what the hell, everybody's screaming.
Right.
But here, like, she was awake, cognizant, like, saw the world shifting around her. Like, we got to see it from her perspective. Like, if you think about if you went away and then came back in the exact same spot 5 years later and the walls had been painted, it would have just been like, the walls are painted. Like a Wizard of Oz kind of thing. Like, oh, that's a horse of a different color. It's the walls are a different color. But the walls shifted around her. Everything got, like, it looked like it all morphed into place. Mm-hmm. So it was a gradual transition, which makes me think that there's some sort of multiversal shenanigans happening with everybody who got snapped away. They went to maybe a pocket dimension or something, and they were being brought back and it was a gradual thing. Mm. Or they saw, you know, the merging of the two worlds back to, like, from where they were to where they are. And then they came back to that. I don't know. Like, I don't know, but
I think it's just the way they decided to visually.
There's implications.
But man, it looks. It was really, really cool. And it took me a second to realize what was going on. I was like, is she in a simulation or something? Like, what's... Oh, great.
Yeah.
I did not notice the year like Melissa did. So I just totally did not see that. And it's so good.
Oh, God. And I think we talked about this in like, I think our first instant reaction of Hawkeye is the continuity of needing to know everyone who was snapped and needing to know their experience. And I loved that we got to see it.
Yeah.
I love being able to see, you know, all these, you know, different characters that we have throughout the universe and seeing their experience getting snapped, because that's still the biggest thing that's happened in this, you know, MCU.
Yeah.
I loved seeing it.
I loved it too.
Yeah.
Also, that vest had no pockets. I did not see any pockets. I looked for it immediately.
She's really gone downhill with her vest choices.
It's really disappointing.
Well, I got to say, keeping Yelena Young with that snap and getting her in the room with Kate Bishop, this is the beginning of the Young Avengers, as it were.
Yes.
And we get the conversation between Yelena and Kate was freaking awesome. This was
to die for.
The amount of screen time they gave Yelena to just be Yelena and be funny and, oh, it's so good.
All the stuff with the macaroni and how I was waiting for you and,
oh yeah, if I wanted to kill you, I'm one person.
This is not cutlery.
This is not cutlery, Kate Bishop.
If
I wanted to kill you, I would, like, before the door would have closed. I love that part. I love, like, because Kate Bishop is so meta about everything with the hero business. She, like, you know, she's always thinking of the marketing of it, you know, like she told Clint, it's that branding issue. And, like, she's seen enough movies, right? She knows how these things would have happened or whatever. So when Yelena is just like, oh yeah, if I wanted to kill you, she knows all the lines. She knows how to finish it. And watching them interact like that was just so just brilliant. I want those two on screen all the time in everything.
There's tons of hilarious stuff in there, but there's also some heartfelt stuff with, like, we are defined by what we do, not by nice words. Like, real, like, examination of, do we trust the Avengers just because they did one good thing? Like, it's really good.
Yeah, I mean, I love that I felt so conflicted in that, because we know that Yelena's understanding of what happened to Natasha is wrong. You know, she seems to think that Clint, like, killed her out of selfishness or whatever. Yet at the same time, everything else she said about Clint and Ronan is correct. I mean, he was this war. He did leave this trail of blood for years. The Avengers did do, you know, all of them did some not so great things.
This trail of blood runs around the entire earth. That was very Russian.
It was a very Russian thing to say.
And I just think they set that up so brilliantly. Like, there was no clear, like, right or wrong. Like, you understand where both of them are coming from.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anybody else want some mac and cheese real bad, though?
Oh my god.
And I love hot sauce in my mac and cheese. I do that all the time. I like to cut up chicken and throw it in the box mac and cheese and then throw some hot sauce on it.
Oh.
And sometimes some actual, like, cheddar cheese. Yeah.
That sounds delicious, but I saw people eating New York City pizza, and so there's just no other food that appeared in that episode for me. Like,
that's fair. That's fair.
I will take any more scenes with Yelena. I will take any Yelena, Florence Pugh scenes in the MCU. I want it. Like, oh, she has this really good smelling macaroni.
Yeah.
I know what you're thinking. Like, oh, I love everything about Yelena.
Oh, man.
I loved her with her hair down. Like, in the Black Widow movie, she always had her hair, like, tightly held back.
And that double pony.
Yeah, in the double pony. Like, and in that scene, she had her hair down, and, like, it looked like she was, you know, kind of loosening up a bit, and, like, I was about it.
Impeccable style, by the way. Yeah, outfit. Impeccable style by Yelena.
I love what do you want? Well, it's my first time in New York.
you're from here, right? Yes. Yes, Kate Bishop, maybe you grew up here.
You could give me some ideas. Some recommendations.
Sucks. How frequently did that kind of shit happen, like, for people coming in to visit? Like, I want to go see these things. And you're like, God, that's such a tourist thing.
All the time. I mean, and, like, the Rockefeller Center tree is the one that I would go to generally, because it is absolutely amazing. It's beautiful. It's great to go ice skating at. But yeah, the rest of it. I did have one small quibble in that conversation, and it just, I get why they're doing it, but it still was, it felt contrived to me, which is that Yelena is telling Kate all the things that that Clint did, trying to convince her that Clint is not the hero she thinks she is. But she never says the words, he is Ronan. And to me, the only reason for that those words not to be said is because they're setting up a big reveal for the next episode where Kate finds out that he's Ronan. No, like
He already knows.
She already knows from so
last episode.
Did she know?
Yeah, they talked about it.
She was like, it's you, isn't it? And he's like, we all dealt with the blip in our own way. And
okay, I'm completely ignoring me then.
Yeah.
3 a.m, my memory not so good.
It happens.
That whole scene with Kate Bishop and Yelena, and I will continue to call her Kate Bishop because my queen Yelena, that's only what she calls her, but...
She calls her that to let her know that she knows so much about her.
That's such a good moment. Oh,
I just, like, I couldn't help that entire scene being like, the difference between Yelena and Matt is staggering.
Yes.
Because Yelena will just toy around with somebody, whereas Natasha was very like, I know my mission.
Right.
I know how to get it done. I'm going to do what I need to do and get out of here. Whereas Yelena's like, let's hang out. Let's have a conversation. Yeah. It's girls' night. Let's talk me and you. Oh. You want some delicious macaroni?
I think Yelena is like genuinely really excited to have freedom for the first time. Like she's trying to experience life.
Yeah.
And even though she's still like a contract killer, she's like trying to like, oh, but I'm still going to have a good time talking to this person. This person seems nice. I might have to kill her later, but she seems nice. We can have a girls' night.
Oh. Yeah. Especially because knowing everything else about Yelena, I don't think Yelena needed Kate to tell her, where is Clint? Like, to me, Yelena went into that thinking, maybe I'll learn something, but mostly I want to screw with Kate Bishop. I want to break apart the alliance between these two. I want to not only kill Clint, but kill his memory in his biggest fan. You know, to me, it was the conversation they had before she asked, where is he, was much more important to her. Because it just, she's so good at finding people. I don't think she needed that.
I felt like she was just trying to get at, like, what her loyalty to Clint is.
It's what you said, Matthew. Exactly what Melissa's saying now. It was like the fact that she was told to kill this person might not be exactly enough. Like she's sort of questioning it. And so she's seeking out Kate for that reason too.
Yeah, that's possible too.
I think it's like a curiosity thing of like, but why though? Like I'm going to kill him still. Like that's not ever leaving the table. But why though? Like why this? Why this also?
And I love it because she continues to be like, what has he done? Why has he had such a big effect on you? And it's that opening scene where she's watching him jump off that building and shoot an arrow to like fly into that building. Oh, so good.
And he saved her.
Yeah, he saved her.
That's the reveal we haven't had. I'm looking forward to seeing Kate say like, well, you saved my life. And he's like, well, I've been trying to, but the tracksuits are still after. He's like, no. When you saved my life when I was six or whatever, like,
In 2012, like I was in that building.
Yeah. And he doesn't know that yet. And I think that's such a cool thing. Or that her entire love of archery and love of like learning all these physical things is like all because she looks up to him. Like he knows she looks up to him as an Avenger, but he doesn't know that she's like this kid who watched him jump off that building. Yeah.
Right.
Watching her and her mom have that conversation of like her mom's cleaning her wounds and just kind of being a good mom somehow. And she's like, Kate's looking up at the walls like, God, I thought I could be one of them. Mm. And, you know, she based her life around seeing Clint do amazing things one day and then was like, they're going to hold tryouts someday and I'm going to be ready. It may not have been that silly, but like that was her goal. You know, I'm going to be an Avenger
is
what she probably was saying at 5-6 years old. And like, she believed it.
Mm-hmm. And I think we kind of talked about that in some ways, like Clint, to become Clint is kind of the lowest bar of the Avengers. Like, I don't mean that in a bad way, but think of it like, can you become a Norse god? Probably not. Can you get super serum? Probably not. All the other people, like, is just an impossible. But Clint.
It's attainable.
Yeah, it's an attainable
Clint, level. Clint is just being. You could attain it. It is a bar that is possible to overcome.
Yeah.
Like, looking at the checklist, like, oh, gamma radiation. Yeah, that's not for me.
Billionaire, probably not.
I mean, her mom's close, but yeah.
Close, but not quite.
I was talking about me. I was like, Oh, yeah, not yeah. billionaire. Certainly not genius. Cross that one off.
Do I want to be imprisoned and forced to spy for Russia for a few years? No, that's not for me either.
Yeah. Just a lot of time lost. I got shows to watch.
Things to
shows to watch.
I'm still a senior, you know, got the double major going for me. I just don't have time for that.
I could talk about Yelena for hours.
Right.
Anyone wants to catch me online, you know where to find me, straight up in the chat on Facebook. But
let's switch from your queen then to my queen. Can we talk about Maya and her whole plot line?
That's where I was going.
Yeah. Awesome.
Let's talk about Maya.
I'm on record. I'm not the guy who loves the fight scenes. I was hoping that Ronan would go in, Clint would go in wanting to talk, and then maybe there has to be a fight scene, because there has to be a fight scene. So I was a little disappointed that he went in fighting with the idea of, like, I'm going to disarm her and then talk to her. But then once they did have the conversation, I loved it. And I loved seeing that, you know, that at the end of the fight, she doesn't believe him, but clearly he's planted enough of a shadow of a doubt that she's now asking her number two. And she's starting to put the pieces together that he was probably the one who betrayed everyone. And I just thought that was, because at first I was like, what was the point of that scene if she doesn't believe him? But then seeing, like, no, it is percolating. He did get to her. I just thought it was such a good way to develop her character.
Well, so I mean, the thing that happened there is, like, well, he had to take out the people around her that, you know, it was a come alone kind of situation. And nobody ever comes alone. He had to take out the bros. In a very Batman kind of sequence, right?
Oh, very Batman, yeah.
Like, he had to take out the bros, get them out of the way so that they could have their talk. But in true superhero fashion, a talk isn't had between heroes until a fight has been had.
Yawn.
I gotta say, like, you're the one that feels more representation here, but, like, I gotta say, I love the physicality of Maya and, like, seeing her pull off all those crazy moves, and this actress is just killing it. And the fact that she has a prosthetic leg and does all these moves, and so many of them incorporate the prosthetic leg. Like, I loved to see that scene.
Yeah, God, the way she blocks the sword with the prosthetic.
Yeah.
Like,
and when she has to get up from a squatted position, she has to put all of the squat has to come from the one leg. Like, they do such a good job of making it clear that she is working with what she has and that's still there, but she's not letting it stop her. And I freaking loved that scene.
I don't know that necessarily that it's that they're making it clear that she's, you know, got that, or they're not focusing on it.
No,
they're
agree.
Not like, look at how much trouble she's having standing up using only one leg.
No,
it's just,
no,
they're not hiding it. You know, and that's the great thing.
That, to me, is exactly why it's important to have roles like that played by actors who have the same issue, because I don't think the writers said, hey, actress, you know, forget her name.
Alequa Cox.
Cox, I thought it was.
I don't think they said, hey, can you, like, get up in a way where you're putting all your weight on one leg?
Yeah.
They told her, get up, and she has a prosthetic leg, so that's how they did it.
Yep.
And I was like, perfect. That's what the actress does, because that's what the character would do, and vice versa.
Totally agree. I just think it's amazing to highlight the physicality of that actress and the character. Like, it's just so freaking cool to see. And it's inspiring. As a able-bodied person watching that, like, fully whatever, as a person with both legs, I'm looking at her and going, like, I really got to get to the gym. Like, she just got up. She just did that with one leg, and I don't think I could do that with two. And it's embarrassing.
and to be clear, I mean, I made the yawn joke just to the idea that it has to be that way. I did love the fight scene. I just thought I thought Ronan was going to come in wanting to talk. But
it's a little cliche.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, let's fight first kind of thing.
But then when he was able to connect with her about that idea of, like, that in many ways she's in the Ronan phase now, you know, that whole thing about how love, like, the hate blinds you. It was just so well done.
And that reveal where he says, like, it blinds you, believe me, I know. And then he reveals that his killing of her father was a manipulation by Kingpin. Like, he killed her father And he's apologizing for it in a way, but he's also saying, like, I did it because I was lied to and right. I was manipulated, and like, you're being manipulated the same way now. Like, that's
and
so
I was
cool.
I was so blind that I could be manipulated.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I love that in that scene, like, it may not be a big thing, I don't know, but I love that in that scene, he's got the sword on her, but like, as he's talking to her, he's doing his best to use as much sign as he knows. Like, mm-hmm. you know, he uses yeah. family with the one hand. He's like, you know, I know, like, he does all of the things that are like, you know, your first year ASL student is gonna know. And like, it's really endearing, you know?
Absolutely.
I love this series so much.
Yeah. One of the things I haven't discussed at all, I really loved his discussion with Nat at the memorial for 2012.
Oh, exact spot where they assembled, right by Grand Central.
Exactly. Me and Jeff went there when we were in New York. We had to go and assemble there when we were in New York.
Is there a plaque?
There was not a plaque.
We might have. We wrote on the walls, but they might have cleaned it by now.
Yeah. It's just such a great moment. When he says you always had to win, didn't you? It's just like, oh.
And you were always the bravest of us all. I was like, mm-hmm. she was. We already knew, but thank you for the confirmation.
He said, I do my best every day to earn what you gave me.
Oh. Stop. I know that we often complain about the big studios listening to angry, annoyed fans in the worst ways. And like, I get that, you know, I think the toxicity of fans can really be a thing. Please bring back Cowboy Bebop. I hate that it got canceled, but to me, this is the other side of it, because I think they're probably going to do some of it anyway. But to me, so much of this show is one of the things that it's saying is, hey fans, all of you who thought we did not give Natasha the what she deserved in Endgame, you're right, and we're fixing that. Because there's just been so many, both in Black Widow, but especially in this, because so often there was so much of it about Hawkeye, having Hawkeye so clearly show that it's, he's the one who's paying tribute to her, I think is just, it feels needed after Endgame. You know, it's like, I loved Endgame, but that was one really sour note, and this feels like it's really addressing that.
Also, Yelena, too. Like, this is a show where two people that love Nat are trying to kill each other. And so, like, just how she would want it. Celebrate her the way she lived.
With murder.
And he also says, I miss you and I'm sorry for what I'm about to do, which I guess he means he's going to go do his Ronin thing, which he kind of like put away when she asked him to. But I love the conversation with his wife. And she's just such a ride or die.
I love their love.
Oh, it's so good. And like,
I love their love so much.
There's a different kind of relationship that would probably stand up to him and be like, no, you can't go down that dark road. You can't go be Ronin again. You have to be the hero. But she's like, no, I'm just with you. Like, I trust your judgment and I'm with you. If you got to do some dark shit, you got to do some dark shit.
You gotta do what you gotta do.
Have you guys heard the theory about Laura and the Watch?
Yes.
She's somehow Mockingbird?
Yes, and that the tie-in, as an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fan, the tie-in goes from when Laura retired, Bobby Morse picked up the Mockingbird role, and that is how we tie into Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And that somehow the Watch belonged to Laura. She was an agent back then.
On today's episode, today on Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, we also talked about that theory this afternoon, me and Ash, and 084 wrote in, and he was saying that, like, even though if she's Mockingbird, it would destroy Bobby Morse's Mockingbird, because he was working off a different theory that this is Bobby Morse who had to change her name when she became, went into hiding. But I like your theory a lot, that like Laura could have been the previous Mockingbird before Bobby Morse. I like that. That's really cool. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm just going to be the fly in the ointment there. I think it would be a fun tie-in, but I think one of the things that they seem to be leaning towards, especially in Agents of Ultron, is the idea that
Age of Shield. Yeah,
sorry, Age of Ultron. I don't get names right on my own podcast when it's normal hours and it's 3 or 4 in the morning.
Here. That was such a mixture of names I couldn't tell which one you're talking about. Yeah. That's why I had to clarify.
Like,
I was
normally
like, wait,
we can figure it out. And I was like, roll with it, but
I don't know what Agents of Ultron is. Listen,
Jeff said nothing while I said the phrase "Revenge of Skywalker" as the name of a movie multiple times. So.
I knew what you meant.
But the impression I always got was that his family was his escape from this world, you know, and it, like Laura knew about it. He didn't hide it from her, but they were civilians and this was his civilian life. And it would be a fun tie-in, but I think I would be a little sad to lose that. Like, I think that was always something like, to me, part of what I thought made Clint so powerful is that unlike so many of them, he still had a foot in the civilian world. You know, he still had a connection to normal people that most of the rest of them didn't. Mm. It's not a huge deal if it does turn out that she's Mockingbird. I think there could be a lot of fun ways to go with it, but I think it would be a little sad to me if we lost that.
I don't think you lose that. I think you just, it's the fact that she had a life before she was a civilian, you know? And I mean, clearly in the show, we've shown that she can like speak different languages. She can do spy-like research online to find out what people are doing. She knows all these processes that, like, when he says, "What are you going to do?" He's like, "I'm going to do the catch and release." And she's like, "Ah, one of Nat's moves." Like, she knows a lot about his world. That could just be because you have a very open relationship about that stuff. Sorry, different kind of open relationship.
Whoa,
very good open discussion. I would like in on. Again, weekly appreciation for Linda Cardellini.
Absolutely.
Continuing to just have the smallest role in some episodes, but continue to come back. I love that continuity.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I like it a lot. Oh, man.
It's so great to
and
have
her. And if she ended up being like a badass agent and showing up and doing some stuff, I'd be here for it. I like the theory a lot.
Love it.
Yeah. I like it. I like the she retired and then Adriana Palicki, Bobby Morse picked it up. I like that.
Yeah, I like that too,
because that doesn't take away from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. where we're still hashtag bring back Bobby, right?
Yeah.
We're always hashtag bring back Bobby, hashtag like, bring back Daisy, hashtag bring back Bay Simmons. Yo.
Hashtag bring back all Bobby. The show is gone for years and years. Yeah. We still bring back Bobby. Okay.
You know, some of those actors and actresses have moved on, right?
No.
We have not.
The Orville doesn't exist.
But not us. Yeah. Right, Melissa? Not us.
Whatever. It's
right, just don't worry about it. We can't.
Some people move on, but not us. I like it.
But not
very,
us.
Very well. Very well done. Got you a peanut butter sandwich. Okay. Let's talk about any of the last things that we really got to get going.
Yes.
I got to say a couple jokes that we didn't get to talk about. I love the Uber getaway. They're walking away from a fucking spy fight and he's like, "How are we going to get back?" And she's like, "You just got an Uber arriving." That was so funny.
That is the most Gen Z thing I've ever seen.
It's the most Kate Bishop thing. Like Kate Bishop absolutely would call an Uber. I love that.
I just like as a fellow young person, that would be what I did. Like, immediately, whenever I have to get anywhere, Uber.
I would argue with you, Melissa, but I have to get my walker first.
When I said fellow young person, I was referring to Kate Bishop.
to be very clear, I was not referring to anyone on this call.
Oh, no, I know. I was saying, you're pointing out what you are that we are not, and I am very much not.
Yeah, for sure.
But it's New York. What about the taxis?
Nope, Uber. From the phone. Always from the phone.
Always from the phone.
Always from the phone.
One thing we haven't talked about that I just want to touch on quickly. Jack getting arrested.
Yes. Yeah. Oh my gosh. So good.
And Eleanor was like, "You were right." I looked into it. I was like, "Liar. Lies."
You liar.
You are a liar. You're a fat liar, Eleanor.
Jack walking away and being like, "I will be back in time for the Christmas party." It was just so good because it's just so dumb. He's such a beautiful, dumb man. I love him so much.
I was just like, what is happening?
I had like half a moment where I wondered, is he in on it as well? And but no, he's just a patsy.
He's just a beautiful, dumb summer child. I just love him so much.
He just didn't seem to have a problem with it at all.
No,
like, I mean, no worries, no concern in that brain.
He is, well, he says it right there. He's like, that's what starts that whole conversation.
I've never worked a day in my life.
Exactly. I've never worked a day in my life. How could I have done bad things? I've never done anything. Like, that is such a great defense. I can't stand how great that defense is. And I believe him 100%. He is not in on it. He has never done anything in his life. And it's so good. He's so privileged that he is certain those handcuffs are not going to stay on him and the justice system will work in his favor.
Yeah. Hashtag Ash was right. The second she saw that red dress, ooh, that girl, but no.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't trust Eleanor. Never have.
Mm-mm. Nope. Can't do it. Can't do it. Also, another joke I just absolutely love is the no weapons. I have no weapons.
Oh, yeah.
No weapons that are in my hands.
Oh, again,
no, that's wrong too.
That's also a lie.
The second she said that, I was like, liar.
You liar.
None in my hands.
Oh, man.
Oh, that's a lie.
And last one I have to bring up is Run DMC is classic tracksuits. Like, oh, gosh. And then they're like,
do we look like Royal Tenenbaums?
They're arguing about whether they look like Royal Tenenbaums or not.
Yes.
Yes, of course we do.
Right, so I need to ask, for those of you who know these stories much better, the second command from Maya, who I think we're pretty clearly supposed to now think is the one who set up her father.
Kazi.
Is he someone from comics at all? Is this just a completely new thing? Okay.
Yeah.
Is him being the traitor something from?
He is employed by Wilson Fisk and other criminal organizations. He has a criminal moniker. I think he's called the Clown, where he's got like white face paint, makeup, and like a single tear. He's done some bad stuff that I don't want to spoil just in case it does happen.
Fair.
How do we have one episode left? There is one singular episode left of this show, and there's so much left to tie. Yelena and Hawkeye need to talk. We need to figure out the watch. Hawkeye needs to make it home for Christmas. This whole Kazi Kingpin, Maya thing. Like, there's a lot to wrap up, and what it's probably going to be like, what, 45 minutes? How are they going to do it?
It's not going to be wrapped up.
Oh, it never is.
Disney Plus has given us a couple of very different TV shows, but all of them have hit some similar beats. All of them have hit some, like, internal moments. They've all had some moments of, like, connections, larger story. And so far, every single one of them has a somewhat disappointing ending that didn't tie up all the loose ends. So I think we just have to have, it's going to be one more time of that. Like, all of these shows, I think, like, we're just going to get to the end. There's going to be, like, so much that's good, but also, like, okay, but what about these other stories? Because you're right. I don't think there's any way they can do it all in 45 minutes.
There's two very important things, though, that need to be wrapped up. Again, Yelena and Hawkeye need to have a conversation. I think that is a must, as well as this watch. We need at least some sort of a little bit of an answer as to what the significance of this watch is. Because right now, we haven't heard about it this whole episode. There was no conversation about the watch, and we got a very brief mention last week about it. Like, the first episode was very much about the watch, and we haven't really heard anything about it since.
Yeah. And we need Wilson Fisk on screen. I need Wilson Fisk on screen, having a conversation, in a fight, whatever.
Do we actually think we're going to get more D'Onofrio in this series, or is that just, was that all? Because I could see that being all.
I think he's either in this series or he's in No Way Home. One of those two.
I think it's going to be both.
I think he's going to be in this a little bit more, but I think he will be the primary antagonist for Echo.
Yes.
Yeah. I think the Maya and Kazi and tracksuits and all that will probably not be wrapped up in this series.
Right.
And it's probably going to be in Echo where they do everything with that. After seeing what they've done with Maya in this season of this series, like, I'm excited for what they're going to do with Echo. Like, how much they're going to play with sound and how much they're going to do to, like, affect our senses in that show. I'm stoked for how that's gonna go.
Yeah. Absolutely. So one more thing, I mentioned it last week. On a scale of 1 to 10, how confident are we that Clint makes it home for Christmas?
10.
Okay, we were all very confident last week. I think
100%.
100. Jeffrey,
I'm scared.
Tell me. Be honest.
I'm just scared is all. The more that Linda Cardellini lets on that she might be a hero from the past, I think Christmas comes to him.
I saw that. Someone posted that theory. I'm sorry, yeah. I don't remember your name, but somebody in the Facebook Stranded Panda chat posted that.
Did they?
Like, yes. Okay. But, you know.
That's a good one.
If you thought of it as well, good job. Mm-hmm. But, like, that they bring Christmas to him. It's like, oh, special. But yeah. I will stick with my theory that he makes it home for Christmas, but also brings Yelena. I need it.
I love American Christmases, is what she said.
And I'm trying my best to manage expectations, but I will riot. If she does not go home for Christmas with Clint, I will. I don't know what I'll do. I'll figure it out at the time.
We're taking it to the streets, and we're going to be very confused.
But what if she spends Christmas with Kate and Jack?
I don't like that as much.
Okay.
It needs to be a celebration of Nat's life, I feel like. And if she goes with Clint and fam, I feel like it can very much be a little bit of a celebration for Nat.
Yeah, if she sees his children running around and it reminds her of, like, her and Nat having American Christmases together, like, that's going to be a touching moment.
Oh, and, like, this is why she sacrificed herself. For me, for this, for these kids' childhood to grow up with a father. I can't do this. It's for him. I can't. I just can't do it. We have to end it.
They introduce Yelena to Nate. Like, Nate is named after Natasha.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Can you stop cutting onions in here? Because just like, wow.
Yeah, it's going to be
it
beautiful.
Hurts so
I don't know
so-
if you could see tears in audio, but if you could...
Melissa is waving her hands in front of her face, drying the tears.
I came up with this crackpot theory today on the feedback cast.
We are so bad at ending this. Go yeah, on.
I know.
We've tried to end it three times.
I came up with the crackpot theory on the feedback cast today because I was watching episode 4 like for the fourth time, and like there's a moment where he's watching It's a Wonderful Life, and like Barton like grabs his face and like it's almost like he's gonna cry, and it's the scene where everyone comes around the guy who thinks that his life is meaningless, the guy who thinks his life has been nothing but pain to everyone, and then everyone comes around him to help him at the end and show him how meaningful he was to them. And Hawkeye during that entire episode was talking about his entire life is nothing but like
being a weapon.
His purpose is to be a weapon. Like, sure, I do things to help people, but in the end, it's really to hurt
people. I was aimed by the right people at the right targets.
But in the end,
I'm still just a weapon.
And like,
right.
It reminded me so much of what he's saying about himself and what that It's a Wonderful Life scene means in that moment. It made me think we're going to get a similar It's a Wonderful Life moment for Clint, where everyone he's helped either in the show or in his life or whatever, like various people who he's helped on his journey come together to help him in the end. And it's that great Christmassy moment. That's what I want. And it might be that his family is involved in that. Like his family shows up as part of that.
Here I am again, remembering a scene from this episode where Maya was talking to Kazi, and she said, I shared my feelings, or at least that's what the subtitle said.
So good.
And the sign that she did was just, like, rip hard out show.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't notice that.
Yeah. And I'm feeling that again.
Yeah.
On this.
I'd just like to apologize in advance if this Yelena going home for Christmas with Clint doesn't happen. I'm very sorry because I've broken my own heart and I've probably broken others. And I just want to say, I'm sorry.
That's just why I'm a little bit holding on to the Yelena and Kate Bishop spend Christmas together. Because I think one of the things that the show is clearly going to end where Hawkeye is now Kate Bishop. But if Clint gets to retire, then I think part of where we're going is that Yelena is going to wind up being Kate's new mentor and teacher. And mm-hmm. and so there's a kind of really nice synergy there of like Clint isn't going to teach her, but Natasha's sister is. So I think we can get a really beautiful Yelena moment, even if it's not in Kansas. And frankly, no offense, I've spent Christmas in New York City. I've spent Christmas on a farm in Kansas. New York City wins. But like either way, I think we can get a good story.
Yeah.
Apologies to our listeners who are in Kansas, but
Yelena.
What if we get all of those, actually? What if, because Eleanor has to go to jail because of her criminal dealings, Kate has nowhere to go for Christmas, and Hawkeye takes Kate and Yelena
back getting
home.
Our hopes up.
But what about Jack? Poor Jack!
Jack can come too.
He's never worked a day in his life. He'll be fine.
Well, no, like, that's the thing. I think that Jack might be one of those people I'm talking about that comes and helps Hawkeye. Like, he clears his name, and so at the end, yeah. Jack's like one of the guys who comes to help.
I'm just saying, Yelena at an Upper East Side fancy Christmas holiday party. Like, I'm down for that.
I don't know if she's cut out for a fancy party.
I don't know if they're cut out for her. That's what'll make it great.
Oh, that's a good point.
But she will slay in whatever dress she wears.
Oh, hell my yeah. God, yes, she will. You know, what if Kate says, Clint, bring your family, and they all come to the penthouse?
What if her mom reinstates her credit cards, and her first purchase is plane tickets for the fam? For his fam.
You're going to get plane tickets on December 23rd to New York City? Good luck.
She's a millionaire. And he's an Avenger.
You can't
happen.
Jet. Private yeah. jet.
The Quinjet somewhere out there.
That's fair.
We were talking about how all bald white men are Kingpin before we got on the cast. And Mr. Potter from It's a Wonderful Life is Kingpin, right? Okay, sorry.
You spoiled the ending.
Everybody else has had a chance to do this, so now it's my turn. One quick last thing before we go. By the way, you should put something in the show notes to suggest that people play a drinking game of every time someone says one last thing. You'll get completely plastered, but it'll be a lot. But here's my completely off-the-wall theory. So we had that wonderful graphic at the very end of the credits where you just see like the shot of New York City and it's the silhouette of Kingpin. And the silhouette of Kingpin is not the silhouette of Vincent D'Onofrio. It's the like more cartoonish, comic booky, like where the shoulders are like 8 times wider than his head.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Which is also the exact image we got of Kingpin in Into the Spider-Verse.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I've been anti-multiverse, but if you're telling me that somehow we're going to get those, like, somehow, like, it's going to be a couple of different Kingpins, or, like, that, I don't know, I have no idea what it looks like. It might be a complete coincidence. I might be totally off my rocker. But if somehow we're getting some part of Spider-Verse to come into all of this as well, and that there's some kind of the two Kingpins, like, mind blown.
Don't you promise me two Haley Steinfelds and not deliver.
Yeah. By the way, let me just drop this in the video version.
Oh, Spider-Gwen meets Kate Bishop?
Yes.
Look at this.
Spider-Gwen meets Kate Bishop.
For those of you who missed it.
It's everything I've ever needed.
For those of you who missed it, this was the final shot of the cartoon, the animated part at the end of the show. And man, I loved it so much.
Yeah.
And I did not see it. I fast-forwarded through the credits to see if there was a mid-credit scene. And you guys got my live reaction.
Yes.
Looking back when you mentioned it, and I gasped.
Yeah,
yes.
I didn't see it either.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
If you have not seen it, go see the last cartoon still in the Hawkeye credits. Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Just turn on Twitter, because Twitter has no spoiler policy, and this is all over it.
Don't go on Twitter.
Not until Thursday.
It's an awful place.
If you don't want to get No Way Home spoiled, stay off Twitter.
Oh, fair. I didn't see any of those on there, but I'm sure they're there.
4 a.m.
Thank you for joining us. That'll be all. If you're watching this, it's the day before Spider-Man comes out. Over on Bingers Assemble, we have all 5 of the previous Spider-Man movies dropped over there. The two Amazing Spider-Mans and the 3 Raimi Spider-Mans.
The one Amazing Spider-Man and the one not so Amazing Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And then
if you
Raimi
get a chance
verse.
And you want to check out those, I'm proud of Bingers Assemble. I think it's a really fun show. So we'd love it if you guys would go over there and subscribe. So check out our, we're covering those in preparation for No Way Home because it's like a big crossover event possibly. So we wanted to cover all those old movies. But, what about you guys? What would you like to plug, Mr. Fox?
My Star Wars podcast will be doing Book of Boba Fett coming soon, but much more importantly, for right now, on PandaVision, which is kind of the TV equivalent to Bingers Assemble,
myself, The Witcher!
Ashley Coffin and Paul Hoppe are covering The Witcher. We just put out episode one of our primer for season one. If you didn't see season one or you just don't remember it very well, this is a great way to get caught up. The second part of it will go up on Thursday, and then starting Friday, we'll be doing episode reactions to the episodes. There are 8 episodes. We're going to do one for every 2 episodes just to try to make sure we can get it on time, because there is some holiday stuff coming up the week afterwards. But yeah, all of Witcher season 2 will be covered by myself, Ashley Coffin, and Paul Hoppe on PandaVision. Check it out.
Stupid excited about The Witcher season 2 coming up.
Awesome. Yep. What about you, Ms. Melissa? Anything you'd like to plug?
I still have to watch The Amazing Spider-Man 2, because that is the only Spider-Man I have not seen, and I'm going to have to watch it today, and then I will immediately be going over to the Avengers Assemble podcast and binging all of the podcasts before I go into No Way Home at 7 p.m.
Spoilers, it's the best non-Tom Holland Spider-Man.
That is
over Into the Spider-Verse?
No, not better. Best live action. I do believe that, but I also like getting to watch Jeff Randall's face when I said that.
It entirely false.
Yeah.
Like,
definitely not the same one.
Patently false.
You can make a case for the first Amazing Spider-Man, but that second Amazing Spider-Man.
I watched for the first time the Garfunkel Spider-Man, and I just like to say, he gives me the ick, and I don't like it.
I rewatched Maguire and hated him, and loved Garfield so much more.
Really?
Mm. Yeah.
Mm. There's a discussion there.
Yep. Melissa, we gotta go, though. We gotta get off this thing.
Melissa, good luck. Make sure that you're not driving, because we've already had people tell us that they had to pull over while driving, listening to us talk about Amazing Spider-Man 2 on Bingers.
Okay. There's so many reasons why.
Well, they were laughing too hard.
Okay, I was like, hopefully it's the laughing and not because it was like such a terrible movie that or podcast that you just want to drive into a rail.
They had to pull over to vomit.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's going to be all for Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, guys. We'll be back tomorrow with friggin' No Way Home. We love you all. Peace.
Until tomorrow, true believers.
Woo!
Bye.
Thank you for joining us for the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. Available everywhere you get podcasts, and now a video version streaming live on twitch.tv/strandedpandatv and available at youtube.com/strandedpanda. And if you'd like to learn more about all of our other podcasts, geeky projects, and ways to support the network, visit strandedpanda.com.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.